Hi everyone, I'm Anastasia, and with me today is Reese Carter, author of The Garden Apothecary.
Well said.
Apothecary?
Apothecary.
Apothecary.
Well done. No, you got it. You totally got it. And thank you for having me. This is fun.
Before we get started on the book, please tell us how you got your nickname, the Herb Nerd.
You know, that was actually a nickname first given to me by Lola Berry. We were walking the botanical gardens in Melbourne, yeah. And I don't know why she said it. I can't remember the exact conversation, but she called me Herb Nerd.
Yeah.
And then we took a photo together and used that as a hashtag, and then it just stuck. And this is like 4 or 5 years ago now. And then everyone else started calling me that, so I was like, I guess this is staying,
Herb Nerd.
And I like it. Nice. I like it.
All right. Ooh.
That's okay.
Tell us about the book.
Going rogue. Okay, so the book The Garden Apothecary is actually my favourite remedies, I suppose, for a range of day-to-day ailments. Yeah. So I kind of, even before, you know, I met the wonderful people at Harlequin and we turned this into a book, I probably had about 70% of these remedies written up already. They were things I used myself, whether they're to manage stress and sleep, whether it's about digestion and gut health, whether it was natural beauty remedies. These were things I was already making,
right.
Based on kind of tips and tricks I'd learned along the way, as well as my degree and my background in nutrition and herbal medicine.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. So, sorry, I'm going to grab this.
No, go for it.
So what is so great about natural remedies?
Look, there are a few things I love about it. The first thing is, you know, in the sense of it being an extension of good nutrition and exercise and general healthy lifestyles, I like the fact that it asks people to become hands-on with their health again. And I think you see that in the book, that regardless of whether you're ready to start from scratch and grow your herbs, or whether it's just about picking up a few ingredients and making a quick and simple remedy, it actually asks that you get involved again with your health, as opposed to just not necessarily thinking about it, popping a quick fix, and moving on without really addressing the cause, I suppose. Apart from that, you know, I just love the fact that all of these ingredients, whether they come from the garden or the pantry, that are kind of masquerading as foods, actually have therapeutic properties beyond just those basic nutritive properties, beyond just being nutrition. So having learnt, you know, that calendula contains resins that stimulate skin healing, and all of a sudden it feels like, you know, you've just got your Hogwarts letter and, you know, but with the scientific backing, get to actually make all these potions. And then when you make them and you see them work, either for yourself or for other people, it's just so much more rewarding. And it's fun. I think it's fun.
Yeah, definitely. Have you ever come across someone who's sort of very kind of pro-modern medicine and...
Look, I mean, I am pro-modern medicine. I'm certainly not, I don't like to think of myself as an alternative therapist. I like to think of myself as a complementary therapist, in the sense that I'm not saying these are an alternative to all medications. Yeah. These are gentle, effective remedies to get started on those niggling day-to-day ailments. Because I think that all of us can agree that you want to, whatever you're treating someone with, you want the smallest, least harmful and most gentle, I suppose, intervention that gets the desired results. And if you can do that with natural remedies and plant-based therapies, why wouldn't you do that?
Exactly. Cool. If you're up for it, I was wondering if you'd love to play a little game.
I would love to play a game.
Excellent. All right. So I was thinking I'd present you with a few scenarios.
Sure.
And you would tell me possibly what teas to make, veggies to eat,
okay, let's do it. Let's
on
do
the body
it.
To help.
Okay.
Okay, so you're Reese Carter.
I am.
Scenario one, you're Reese Carter, you've come to Booktopia, and you're sitting opposite this girl called Anastasia, and you hear in her voice that she's kind of recovering from a cold.
Okay.
So you go home, and what are you going to make? What tea are you going to make? What lotion are you going to rub on your body to try and prevent yourself from getting that cold that she has?
For me to prevent?
Yes.
I mean, look, if you're at the end of the cold, you're probably not that contagious anyway. But my absolute favourite immune herb is something called andrographis.
Okay.
I love echinacea. In my mind, for prevention, as kind of day to day throughout winter, keep yourself from catching colds that other people might have, andrographis is the way to go.
Okay.
You need to make a tincture. Well, I should be able to say that, a tincture, which is basically an extract made of water and alcohol. So that you're getting the alcohol soluble constituents and the water soluble constituents.
Right.
So for the home herbalist, that's vodka.
Yep.
You're only taking, maybe a few teaspoons, maybe a tablespoon of this at any one time. So it's not enough to get you drunk. But what it does is it's a really concentrated extract of that andrographis. And what I recommend to people is that they just take a small dose of that every day throughout winter, so that even if they come in contact with someone who's sick, their immune system is in a stronger position to fight it off.
Excellent.
Yeah.
What about something as simple as like a tea, a lemon and ginger tea? Will that do the job or not really?
It's not, lemon and ginger tea is not necessarily an immune stimulant. If you get sick, if you find that you've got that cold, so let's say I'm Anastasia now. If you're there and you're already sick and you're looking for a tea to kind of soothe the symptoms, especially if it's in your throat, things like marshmallow, things like licorice, they actually contain, they're called demulcent herbs, so they actually basically coat the throat and kind of act like a band-aid.
Right.
So teas are fantastic when you're sick to kind of soothe symptoms, but when you're kind of kickstart that immune system, you need to go a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
You need to pull out the tinctures, you need to get the andrographis out, which, by the way, tastes disgusting.
Something to look forward to. And when you say marshmallow, you mean marshmallow root, not the actual sugar.
Yeah, no, that would be nice, wouldn't it? If we could just turn to a pack of marshmallows. Same with licorice, I mean the root. Licorice root tastes like licorice tea, you would know. Marshmallow, it's not particularly tasty on its own. It's another light grey root. Root herb, so you want to mix it with things like licorice. You could put a little ginger in there then. That kind of increases circulation, so it will improve healing that way.
Excellent. So you actually have, from page 148 onwards, you have a whole little section dedicated to flu fighters. So
I do.
It's a great little section for winter.
It's probably a section I know I'm going to and be relying on for the next few months to kind of to keep me healthy. These are some of my favorite remedies, absolutely. The winter remedies, and I think that it's one of those things that no one likes getting sick.
Mm-mm.
Like, you know what I mean? And so if you can actually take charge of that and, you know, reduce the chances of that happening, amazing. And if you do happen to get sick, flick to, you know the page numbers better than me.
Page 148 onwards.
Flick to those remedies that are going to help you feel a little bit better. You know, whether it's kind of drying up the sinuses so that you get relief from that runny nose, whether it's using something like wild cherry bark at nighttime. There's a cough syrup made of wild cherry bark in the book. It suppresses the your coughing, but it also is actually a bit of a hypnotic and sedative herb, so it will help you get sleep, which, you know, I don't know how you feel when you get sick, but I'm usually tossing and turning and
excellent. All right, scenario two. So a woman or a man, just before a date, they look in the mirror and they realize, you know what, my lips are kind of thin. I would love to have a bit of Angelina Jolie-esque lips. What can I do to plump them up a little bit?
You know, it's funny you say that because I lived in Los Angeles for a year, which is, you know, going to be the city of big lips, basically. So I actually recently was back there filming a video for my web series, and I did just that. I made a lip balm with cinnamon to make a plumping lip balm. So cinnamon is a circulatory stimulant, similar to ginger. So what that does is it increases the blood flow. So look, it's not the same as kind of getting fillers and this, that, and the other. It's a little bit of a tingling you're going to feel when you make this lip balm with cinnamon essential oil, and it just increases the blood flow and gives them a bit of a plumper look. Perfect for that date.
Perfect for that day.
Yeah.
And so we can find that that kind of recipe on your web series on YouTube, right?
So yes, so the book has a peppermint lip balm recipe in there, which is similar. And then on my web series, the Garden Apothecary web series, I recently posted that cinnamon sting lip balm recipe.
Excellent. All right, so next scenario.
Yes, this is fun. I like this game.
You're at the grocery store, scanning your items, and the teller looks at you and says, "How far along are you?" And you're thinking to yourself, "I'm actually not pregnant. I just had a massive meal and I'm just really bloated.
And mind your own business, teller."
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to find a new supermarket. apart from that, okay, so bloating is an interesting one because obviously the digestive system has multiple components and there's a lot of different areas where, you know, there can be discomfort and bloating. So if it's sitting up quite high, if you were sitting, if your bloating was up there, I would actually look at bitter herbs like gentian.
Mm-hmm.
But more commonly, what's going on for people is they're usually blowing up like a balloon down here, either because of a food intolerance or if there's too much fermentation because, you know, maybe their gut bacteria aren't as healthy as they could be. In those cases, what you want are herbs like fennel seed, peppermint. They're probably my two favorites, to be honest, and I actually combine them in a very strong tea called a decoction with licorice for a bit of sweetness. Because what they actually do is, okay, so the reason it's kind of blown up, is because there really is like air building up in there. Well, not air, but I'm trying to say it politely for the camera.
You need to fart.
You need to fart. And basically what you want is herbs that are going to allow you to do that.
Right.
You want herbs that are going to actually release the muscle tissue or relax the muscle tissue that lines the gut so that everything can pass through more easily and you're not kind of holding on to it.
Right.
Fennel is probably the best for that. And peppermint as well. They're called carminative herbs.
Okay, got that?
Write it down.
I want to touch on gut health because I've seen, I think here at Booktopia we've seen, I think it's like over the past year or a bit more, there have been so many books released about, dedicated to gut health.
Yeah.
Why are we so interested in gut health all of a sudden? Like, why is it so important?
I think that, from a naturopathic point of view, we've always treated the gut. That was something I was taught during my degree and I didn't understand it. I'm like, this person's come in for headaches, why am I treating the gut?
Yeah.
But we've kind of, for a long, long time, understood that the gut impacts so many other systems in the body. But it's only in the last, honestly, 10, 15 years maybe, that we've kind of seen scientific research as to why. And we're starting to get a better understanding. And I think that our understanding of that will be further refined in the next 10, 20 years. But all of this research that's coming out around the gut microbiome, which is all of, you know, the bacteria and other microorganisms that call your gut home, it's just astounding. And we're kind of realizing that looking at the human being as just an organism as opposed to an ecosystem was perhaps a little bit short-sighted. Mm-hmm. So with that comes all of these understandings of how those gut bacteria impact inflammation and how they impact immunity and how they impact mental well-being. And of course, what's going to change all that is the food that we're putting into our gut. So I think that's why we're seeing in the last couple of years, or even the last 12 months, this huge resurgence, you know, this huge interest, renewed interest in gut health. I think it's only going to keep going, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was, you were saying, sorry, let me just flick to it, which I thought was really interesting, it was that between 70 and 90% of our serotonin, which is the antidepressant hormone, you said, is located in the digestive system.
It is. So
we always thought it was up in the head.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. A lot of those neurotransmitters, and those kind of intracellular messengers, they have multiple functions in the body. But serotonin, which for so long we've kind of always considered as mental health, plays an enormous role in digestion. And it actually, you know, it goes to show that often people who are being treated for mental health concerns like depression, anxiety, where serotonin is one of those neurotransmitters that we're focusing on. And I don't know the number off the top of my head, but there's a very strong chance that they also have IBS type symptoms. Like these kinds of depression and IBS tend to go hand in hand a lot of the time. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess a good place to start is, if we are suffering from mental health issues, you know, do start with the gut. Start changing the diet.
Absolutely. I mean, always get your medical professionals' advice on that one. Disclaimer there. Yeah. But absolutely. I think that getting gut health on track means that you've got a, I suppose the ball's back in your court in terms of how you can treat it at home a little bit, I suppose. Yeah. And getting gut health right is probably the first step. Yeah.
Okay. One last scenario for you.
Yes.
So you've got two people, they've been friends for ages,
mm-hmm.
and one of them has fallen deeply in love with the other.
Oh no.
Okay, and they perhaps want to make like a tea, maybe a love potion.
A love potion?
Yes, for the other one to drink and fall madly in love with them too. Is there such a thing?
Look, there's not necessarily a love potion. I do have a recipe in this book for a libido enhancing shot, but I think you're still going to need to... Both people are going to need to consent. I think that's still pretty important. I don't necessarily have a love potion, but in terms of a libido-enhancing shot, there is absolutely something. Panax ginseng or Korean ginseng is probably your best bet.
Right.
Damiana, tribulus, all of these other herbs have also been looked at for similar kind of effects, but in terms of the more modern studies, Korean ginseng is the one that far and away kind of seems that it has those kinds of effects. Yeah.
Okay. Look, you know what? I think for the next book, if there is a next book, I think you should work on that. Love potion.
I was going to say, I could do a whole book of love potions.
I know, that would be a bestseller.
It really would.
Is there a herb or a, you know, hero herb or a veggie that you cannot live without? Like it's like your go-to.
Lemon balm. It's so easy to grow.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Yes, it's actually like it's related to mint, and so I'm not sure if you've grown mint at home before, but it's not difficult. So it's a good one for people who are first kind of trying to build their own little garden apothecary, I suppose. Yeah. It is a great after dinner herb in two senses. It's got digestive properties, but perhaps more importantly, it's great for stress. And so if you've had a really big day and you come home and you're a little frazzled and you just want something to take the edge off it, all you need to do is pick a few leaves, kind of crush them in your hand a little bit or in a mortar and pestle, make a fresh leaf tea and just sit back and relax.
And if you've got time, have that, a lavender bath?
Yes, you can make a lavender bath bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you've read the book well.
Oh, I love this book. Trust me, I love this book.
Oh, I'm glad. Thank you.
All right, one last thing.
Yes.
What advice would you give aspiring... What do you call people who want to get into this?
Herbalists? Herb nerds? I call them herb nerds. Let's call them herb nerds.
We started a little cult.
Yeah, exactly.
Advice
so far,
for,
there's two of us.
Join us.
Join us. Be a herb nerd too. My advice would be to start small, to think, okay, what if there's one element of my health I would like to improve slightly, what is it? So you might just be sitting there going, God, I'd love to get my digestion on track, or God, I wish I could sleep more. Do a bit of research about what herbs you grow for that, and just start a small. You don't have to kind of take it all on at once.
Yeah.
You can go, all right, I will grow three or four herbs that I can make into a sleep tea, or I can turn into a tincture, and get started from there. Yeah.
Simple.
Easy.
Perfect. Guys, if you're interested in Reese Carter's book, hop on over to booktopia.com.au. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And join us, the Herb Nerd Cult.
Yes. We need a third, maybe even a fourth.
We probably shouldn't call it a cult, eh?
No. Let's call it a club.
Club. Yeah. HNC.
Yeah, it's happening.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.